Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Class, and that's taking place in the gym right now. There's 100 people that have come to that Israel 101 class, and so that's good. I believe it's the Spirit of God stirring up hearts to just get a better understanding, a biblical understanding of what's happening in Israel right now in the Middle East, and how does that fit in to our Christian walk and our following of the Lord. And of course, we know it has everything to do with it. And so this evening, we have a real good friend, a special guest to be with us to minister, and it's Randy Caldwell. Randy is not only a great preacher of the Word of God, and has been for many, many years, and his schedule is unbelievable. If you heard his schedule, you'd get tired listening to it. But he's a great lover of Israel. He's part of the leadership team for Christians United for Israel, and we serve together with Pastor John Hagee. We've been to all the events and leadership events and the planning of them. And he's had a very active role. He takes several busloads every year to Israel. And his travels, he's made lots and lots of friends, not too many enemies, I don't believe, but lots of friends. So it's just a real privilege for us to have him here this evening. And he always has a word from the Lord, and that's more important than anything else. So would you give a warm welcome to Randy as he comes this evening?
Amen. Bless you. Amen. To God be all the glory, great things he have done. Now, it's going to be a long night for some of you. Man, to God be all the glory, great things he have done. Amen. There you go. It's always a joy to be with Brother and Sister Morrison, Pastor George, Sister Cheryl. It's always, they're great friends of ours, and it's an honor to be here. I was here last year about this time, and I handed you out some corn. And Brother Rod shared with me that several of y'all had made mention that you remembered that corn. And I had fully planned tonight to just pick up from that point and go on. But standing here on the front seat just a moment ago, standing there at the front seat, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. So I am just going to follow what he said do. Is that all right? Well, I hope it's all right, because that's what I'm going to do anyway. I have quite a unique background. I was raised in Pentecost in the Bible Belt. And probably a Pentecostal Bible Belt raisin is the toughest thing you'll ever get over. You don't know anything about it. I could make jokes about it and you still wouldn't get it because you was raised in Colorado. But when I grew up in church, if you had fun, you was going to hell because God didn't think stuff was funny. And he was a mean old man with long white hair and a beard, and he had a bolt of lightning in his left hand and a hammer in his right hand. And they were just waiting on me to mess up. And I remember going to church and leaving Brother George and thinking, dear God, I don't know what we done last week, but I don't want to do that no more because God was really upset today. And that's how that I was raised. But when I discovered that that ain't who God is, that's who religion is, and God is waiting to help you in every aspect of your life, it was a liberating day in my life. Amen. So I'm glad that you are here tonight. And I have discovered in my preaching of 30 years that the more you clap your hands and the more you amen, the shorter I preach. Now you let me finish. Now, see, you got all excited to let me finish. Because what makes me preach a long time is a house full of smart alecks. Amen. It is a joy to be here in Colorado. I think you have a beautiful, beautiful state. We took a tour. Me and my wife and one of my daughters. I'm going to turn this speaker around here to me, if you don't mind. I like my preaching as much as anybody does, and so I just like to hear me. I was asked by Pastor Hagee one time who is my favorite preacher, and I said, well, when the anointing comes, I just soon to hear me as anybody. Amen? If you don't like your own preaching, ain't nobody else going to like it. So I like mine. I was raised in a preacher's family, 13 preachers at one point in my immediate family, so I know about church. I know church better than I know anything else. Never been to prison. I've never been an alcoholic. I've never been a drug addict. I've never been strung out on drugs. If that's your testimony and God set you free, that's awesome. But I went to church 9 months before I was born. I know about church more than I know anything else. And I discovered years ago some of the meanest people you ever meet in your life, you meet in church. Yeah, it's going to get a little bumpy tonight, so just hang on. I'm going to be a blessing to you. The Lord has directed me to preach to you tonight. I want to say it's good to have my wife and one of my daughters here. I want them to stand real quick and so you know who they are. That is my wife of 27 years, and that is one of my twin daughters. She posted a picture on Facebook yesterday that me and the wife had took of her. We went up to Silverthorne, and she looked at that Facebook, and she said, "My, I look like my sister." I said, "Yeah, sweetheart, you do. You've looked like your sister your whole life, identical twins." And so we're good to have them with us tonight. We have twin girls, have a son that's 25 and a son that's 22, and the girls are 23 years of age. We had 4 kids in 3 years and 5 months. That'll keep you prayed up right there. Amen. And so it's good to have them with us. We do have brought some product with us. If you are interested in the material that we have brought with us, I'll tell you real quick. For 2.5 years now, I've been preaching solely on the kingdom of God. Over in Israel, 3.5 years ago in the upper room, God spoke to me. Brother George, you know how it is in the upper room. From the time they open till it closes, there's a steady flow of people in the upper room. For 35 minutes, I was in that room by myself. Not a person. I knew it was a miracle. Not a person walked in, and God began to reveal to me, listen closely. Here in America, as a church, we have been incredible at preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have failed miserably at preaching the gospel that Jesus preached. Amen? Jesus exclusively, publicly preached about the kingdom of God. And so I don't know if they're going to be able to throw scriptures on the screen. I was going to go one direction, and the Holy Ghost directed me to go to another. We have our teaching material out there. Would love you to stop by and visit with us tonight. I have a bit of lengthy reading. It's now about 7:05. I understand you get out about 8 o'clock, so that's going to be our goal. A goal is something that you try to attain. So you just stay with me, and we'll shoot for that tonight. Amen. If you don't mind, stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 20. I stepped back in the restroom while ago, and I've left my glasses in there, so we're just going to take a guess at it. Wife, don't let me forget my glasses. They're back there on the paper towel holder, amen? And so we'll just take a stab at it. And so if I stumble through this, when I get my glasses, it'll be a little more clear. I want to start in Luke chapter 17. And Brother Soundman, back in the back, if you give me just a touch of monitor, that would be great. Luke chapter 17, beginning verse number 20, the Bible says, "And when he being Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Somebody say, "In me." No, you're not here. Thank you, Pastor. Somebody say, "In me." Same chapter, if you would, flip over to verse number 36. Jesus is preaching, and he is preaching about the end of time. And he says in verse 36, "Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord?" The question is, when is the end of time going to come? "And he said unto them," listen, he gives us a clue here, "wheresoever the body is, thither will eagles be gathered together." Now, can I be honest with you? That don't make a lick of sense. Well, I guess I'm the only person in the building believes that. Sometimes when Jesus spoke, it looks like he wasn't making no sense. But the problem was, he would revelate and then he would demonstrate. And so they said to Jesus, "When is this end going to come?" And he said, "Wherever the body's at, the eagles are going to gather together." Thank you, Jesus. That cleared it up. All right, let's go to chapter number 18 and begin in verse number 9. "And he spake this parable, and a certain which trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican." Would you say that out loud? Say publican. There's a theme here I want you to see that Jesus is preaching on this particular day. The Pharisee stood And Jesus said, prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, give tithe of all I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, kill, steal, bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Watch this, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it's easy for a camel to go through a needle's eye. Boy, that's a tough one right there. And for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When they heard it, they said, wow, who can be saved? And he said, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Peter said, we've left all and followed thee. And he said, verily I say unto thee that no man have left house, parents, brethren, wife, children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I'm reading lengthy because I want to show you a theme. Luke 7, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 is actually a 24-hour period. Jesus preaches in those seven chapters, and there's a theme he preached all day, and I want to bring it to you. Let's read one more time, Luke 18 and verse 35. It came to pass that he was nigh to Jericho, and a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass, he asked what it meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, said, hush. And he cried even louder and said, you hush. Verse 40, and Jesus stood and said, bring him here. And he come to him in verse 41. He said, what do you want? Well, there's another that looks like a silly question. He's blind. You've been healing blind people for 3.5 years. What do you think he wants? Verse number 42. Stay with me. I'm going to show you something tonight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately, watch, he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. Very important you help me right now. Everybody say all the people. Let's say it again. All the people. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, if you would, which was chief among the publicans. Watch, here's the theme. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He couldn't for the press. He was a little short guy. Watch your mouth. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And Jesus in verse 5 said, Zacchaeus, come down and go into your house. Verse 6, he received him joyfully. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured. 45 minutes ago, they're all rejoicing. Now they're all murmuring. You got to watch them. Watch close. They said, he's going to be the guest of a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, a half of my goods I give the poor. And if I've taken anything of false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. That's an awful lot of reading, so I just want you to flip back to chapter 18 and just let me read you two verses, and that is verse number 24 and 25. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God, for it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I would dare say you probably never heard a preacher preach on that thought. You've heard those scriptures, but here's what God began to show me just a few weeks ago, and I want to bring it to you. I want to talk to you tonight about some of the dumbest things I think I ever learned in church. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your anointing. Thank you for these people that have gathered here to learn from your word. God, thank you for calling me to fulfill the office of prophet in this place tonight. Don't let me mess this up. God, you know how I can be sometimes. So just let me be your mouthpiece and help me to minister to these people. Lift me up above my abilities, and we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, everybody glad you're saved, shout amen. grab a seat and let's talk just a little bit a while. Tonight I want to talk to you, and this is a thought I believe that truly came from God back in the month of June about some of the dumbest things I ever learned in church. I gave you a little bit of my raising. I gave you a little bit of my background, and I was raised in church. Now, Brother George, when I was raised, they talked about tithe and offering, but tithe and offering didn't keep the devourer away from your door. God was a mafia. Tithe was your protection money. You pay it, he'll lay off of you. And that's just how it was. And my dad would preach about the coming of Jesus, and he would say, Jesus is coming at midnight. And boy, I'm telling you, we'd grab the seed, and we knew Jesus was coming because it was already 15 after 9, and he's coming at midnight. And five of us boys would go home and lay in one bed, three at one end, two at the other, feet to feet, 5 minutes till midnight with a cover pulled up over our head waiting on the rapture of the church, because that's just how we believed it. And we learned that if we could hear Dad snoring 2 minutes after midnight, then we had 24 hours of grace. See, that's the way that I was raised in church. And it was a great liberating day when I discovered that that is not who God is. And so I have progressed, I believe, in the last 30 years of ministry, now that God has begun to show me, and there's an eye-opening thing that you need to get a hold of tonight, to know that when you read the Gospels, 100% of the public preaching of Jesus Christ was about the kingdom of God. Now, would you listen to me closely? When I discovered this a few months back, a couple of years ago, I guess it is now, that 72% of the red letter, Jesus is talking publicly, 100% of that public message, he is preaching about the kingdom of God. You cannot show me, and I challenge anybody in this building or listening by the internet tonight to get your Bible and show me where that Jesus ever publicly preached that he was the Son of God. He was and is the Son of God, but he never preached it. He never preached one time publicly that he was going to die and be resurrected. He talked about it in private. He brought up a lot of things in private, but his public message was about the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, you will find that Jesus never preached born again publicly one time. You need to be born again. You got to be forgiven of your sins, and we need to preach that. But the message of Jesus Christ was about a kingdom of God here on earth that God established 4,000. Can I talk to you just a little bit tonight? Amen. 4,000 years earlier in the Garden of Eden, Pastor Morrison, God set mankind there, body, soul, and spirit, and God gave us dominion. You need to understand about dominion, because God's original plan for mankind, for us, breathe in. This is going to sting for about the first 5 minutes, so hang on. You understand that God's original plan for mankind was never for us to go out there to heaven. That's just not in the Bible. You'll find God's original plan was this, was for mankind to have dominion here on this planet. You understand? That's God's plan. He wanted us to have dominion here. He placed Adam in a position of dominion, and when Adam fell, God said, Adam, where art thou? The question was not for God. God knew where he was hiding. The question was for Adam. I put you here. Where are you, Adam? And he starts the blame game. God, it's not my fault. It's that woman you gave me. You know how she is. And so he turned to God, and he says, turned to Eve, rather, God did. And he says, what about it, Eve? And she said, it's not my fault. It's the snake's. And so, of course, God turned to the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. And so God cursed him to crawl on the ground even unto this day. But understand, God's original plan was to establish a kingdom on earth and for mankind to have dominion. So oftentimes when I say God never wanted you in heaven originally, that catches people a little bit off guard. But I can tell you this, God's plan for you is he really don't want you out there in heaven right now. If you go to heaven by death or rapture, he has a plan to get you out, because read your Bible. At the end of time, if you go to heaven by death or by rapture, you are not staying out there. We are coming back here to live on this planet forever. You understand what I'm saying? And so, see, we've been singing I'll Fly Away for 95 years. Baby, where are you going? You need to understand that God gave us dominion here on this planet, and God likes it here so much at the end of time, Pastor, he's going to load up his throne and the capital city, the New Jerusalem, and move right here to this planet. So I want you to understand, guys, that that was the message of Jesus Christ, and he preached about kingdom. And so the church folk, the Pharisees come to, are y'all with me right now? Are y'all good? Yeah, about 80% of you. That's all right. Breathe in, it gets better. So understand that had these Pharisees come to Jesus and they said, this kingdom that you're preaching about, where is it? Where is it? And Jesus said it doesn't come with observation. I cannot point over here or over there in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. He says it's not over here, over there, but the kingdom of God is within you. Once again, let me establish this. God's original plan was to open. Can I just break it down in plain old Southern terms? God wanted a branch office of his kingdom, and so he opened a branch office on planet Earth, and he put a CEO there by the name of Adam because God wanted a seen, visible kingdom on Earth. Now, how did he want that kingdom ruled? Is he wanted that kingdom ruled from the unseen kingdom. He wanted the seen kingdom ruled from the unseen kingdom. How was he going to do it? He was going to do it by an unseen spirit of God that lives in a seen body that was on the scene. Are you with me now? So God's original plan was to have the seen rule from the unseen, by the unseen, in the scene, on the scene. And that's the dominion scene right there. And so that's what Jesus was preaching. Amen. That's what he's preaching literally, that we want this kingdom that I've come back to establish. And I want to challenge you real quick. That you should go and read when Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, are you a king? And Jesus said, yes, I am. And there's a day coming that you are going to bow before me. And he said, I am a king. Watch this. And Jesus' words to Pilate was, for that reason was I born. Jesus Christ came to restore mankind. Can you say restore? Say it. Say restore. He came to restore mankind. You cannot restore anything back to where it was not originally. I'm just going to have a little bit of an illustrated message here. Let me grab this bottle of water and let me show you something real quick. See, this is where God put mankind, Adam. He puts him right there. Adam don't stay there. He falls and he ends up down here. Now that bottle of water, I promise you, does not have the ability in the physics world to begin to float up here and come back up here on this. It's laying there. It is absolutely dead. It can't do anything. And that bottle of water would lay there for 1,000 years if nobody touched it, because it does not have the ability to float back up here to where it fell from. As a matter of fact, if it begins to float up here, Pastor, I'll lead the charge out in the foyer and we'll finish the service out there, because I'm not too hip on that kind of stuff. But understand, that bottle of water would lay right there. The only way for it to get back up here is it needs old Randy to become its redeemer, to pick it up and put it back where it fell from. That's what Jesus done 2,000 years ago right there. He picked us up, Pastor Morrison, and put us back where we fell. Where'd we fall from? We fell not from church. We didn't fall from church, and we didn't fall from heaven. We fell from dominion. So you need to know that religion has convinced you that if you can just make it till you die, or if you can just make it to the rapture, and I know there's people who don't believe in a rapture. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't believe in a rapture, you're not going. That's fine. I'll catch you when we get back. But understand, those who believe in a rapture have been taught that if we can just hang on till he comes, and then boy, we're going to come back and show him. I am here to declare to you, Faith Bible Chapel, that you can show the world now, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody give him glory in this building right now. So where's the kingdom? It's on the inside. Now don't confuse the kingdom of God with the kingdom of heaven. See, the kingdom of heaven is a geographical location, but the kingdom of God is a system of government that lives inside of you, that you are to influence the governmental system that you dwell in. Let me run that by you. See, he never calls us Christians in the Word of God. He calls us citizens. He never calls us subject, he calls us sons and ambassadors. Because sons and daughters look like their daddy, citizens represent their country, but an ambassador speaks for his government. And you are an ambassador. Lord have mercy. See, if you understand ambassadorship, we've seen this, one of our ambassadors' life was taken. What I'm afraid some people don't understand is that attack upon our embassy in Libya was an attack upon the United States. Because you see, that property there is United States property. And anytime I've go, and Pastor George, I believe you was with us a couple years ago when we went to the president's house over in Israel. When we go to a president's house or prime minister's house, or we go to an American embassy, when you step through the gate, you're on American soil. So understand, you need to know what an ambassador is for. An ambassador lives in another country that is not his. But his job is to let the political system of that country be influenced by his homeland's views. So if we're ambassadors for Christ, it is our job to let the political system in America be influenced by our homeland's views, and that comes from the Word of God. You ought to clap your hands right now. So Jesus is preaching about this kingdom. And the Pharisee says, where is it? And he says, it's not over here, over there, but it's on the inside of you. And then he talks about in Luke 17 and verse 36 about two grinding at the mill, two in the field, and one to be taken, the other left, talks about it. And then they said, when's it going to happen? And then here's this answer in Luke 17 and verse 37. He says, wherever the body is, thither will eagles be gathered together. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not just being crude. That on the surface makes no sense. I thought the rapture took place and I was here by myself. Well, sure. That makes no sense. Understand, the question is, when is the end coming? And he said, wherever the body's at, the eagle show up. All right. You betcha. Makes no sense. But it will in a minute, so hang on. So Jesus keeps preaching during the day, and he's preaching and he's talking about a theme. And the theme is, watch, about politics and money and influence of who you really are. That's the theme of that day. So you go to chapter number 18. Keep your Bibles handy, please. I don't want you to take my word for this. He starts in verse 9. He tells about the two men. He tells about a parable. Verse 10, he said, two men went up the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, a church person. The other was a publican, a politician. Now hang with me. And this publican, not all of them was politicians, but this particular one was that Jesus is referring to. But the publican was looked down upon by people of the church of that day. And Jesus said, this religious church person, look here, guys, the most evil spirit you will ever encounter in your life is a spirit of religion. Come on, read your Bible. It stoned Stephen. It beheaded John the Baptist. It crucified Jesus Christ. It killed the Apostle Paul, and the spirit of religion flew two planes in the World Trade Center on 9/11. Don't you fool yourself for a minute, honey. That wasn't about liberty America. That was about religion. Are you hearing? Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. Amen. I hear crickets chirping. You need to understand that's about religion. And we are in a religious war, whether you want to admit it or not. And Jesus said, this church person went up to the church to pray, and he said, he prayed with himself, oh, God, I thank you. I'm not like these other folk are. Can I just unload something right now? Thank you. I have been to some political meetings, and I've been to some church meetings, some conventions, and big crowds, and I've seen them ask some preachers come to pray. They step to the pulpit, and this is how they go. Our grace, Heavenly Father, we now come unto thee, unto thy, therefore, unto thou hast this day much, therefore, unto thee, twain is under. As we now, God, peer over into thy throne room, looking over the crystal sea upon thy throne, and therefore unto thee hast thou this day, unto whereas unto thee hast thou the rainbow, therefore unto thee, around about thy throne, and thus and therefore, and this and that, and the four beasts, and God's going, who's he talking to? Come on, you've seen them. This is what Jesus said right here, that this guy was praying with himself, but that old boy that the church folk didn't like, he said, wouldn't even lift up his eyes and said, God, be merciful to me because I know I don't deserve you. He said, that old boy went down to his house more justified than this other one did. Watch, he's talking about church people, money, and politicians. Oh, this is going to get heavy. Hang on just a second. So now we've got to keep on going. Verse 18. Now a certain young ruler comes and says, good master, what shall I do to inherit earth? Inherit eternal life, rather. Luke 18, verse number 18. And Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, save one, that's God. Now, I got to say something right here. Look here, guys. There is a movement in America today to try to discredit Christianity. Now, whether you want to agree with it or not, it is there. I know for lighting's sake I should stay on the platform, but I really want to get right out in the middle of y'all. But watch this, guys. Understand that there is a movement to discredit Christianity, the name of Jesus, and the power of his blood. And this is what they say. Well, I don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I just believe he was a good, wise teacher. Let me throw some out here to you. Jesus Christ saying he's a good, wise teacher, you have to understand he cannot be either one unless he is both. Stay with me. See, if he can't be the one by itself. See, if he's good and he wasn't the Son of God, then he was crazy. He thought he was the Son of God. He's a good guy, but he was just crazy. Are you with me? So that would make him not wise. And I see if he wasn't crazy and he was wise and he knew he wasn't the Son of God and said he was the Son of God, then that makes him not good. Are y'all with me? So he can't be a good and wise. He can't be one without being the other. So we come down to two different conclusions. There is either he was the Son of God or he was the biggest liar that ever lived. Are y'all with me? Well, this is what they say now. He's just a good religious leader and he founded Christianity. No. There ain't another leader of any religion anywhere that spoke like Jesus spoke. Jesus, look here, now let's just talk a little. See, Muhammad in Islam, he says he had a vision of heaven and he impressed the men in the desert, but he never said he went there. But Jesus talked about it like he'd been there with inside information. See, I got a little brown leather couch in my office at my home. Here's my wife and daughter. Wife and daughter, look at me. Do I have a brown leather couch in my house? In my office at home? Thank you. Okay. Now, y'all see that right there? You know, good and well, you've never been to my house, and I've got a brown leather couch in my office. You know good and well I got it. You know why you believe me? Because I'm talking from inside information. And not another religious leader in the world ever spoke like Jesus. He said, I've been there. I'm going back to prepare you a place that where I am, you can be there too. Come on. See, Buddha told his religious followers, I don't have all the answers, but I found eight steps to a path to total serenity. And you can do what I've done because it worked for me. But he told his followers, I'm not worthy to be your leader. You know what Jesus said? I know what the law says, but I said. Not another religious leader anywhere ever spoke like Jesus spoke. He put himself the center of the universe. Not another person that's ever lived broke time in half. Before Jesus was born, mankind kept up with his literature and history with one solid timeline. But after he was born, he broke it in half. And everything that happened before he's born, they call it BC. And everything after, they call it AD. There's been nobody like him, and there'll never be another. He is the Son of God. Somebody give him praise and honor. Glory. So watch. So Jesus says to this young ruler, now, always talk, look here. If you want to talk about, look at me. If I was serious and I stood up here and I said, no man comes to God but by me, you'd think I was quoting the Bible. But if you saw I was real serious, you'd get up and walk out and say, that guy's nuts. That's what Jesus said. And they bought into it. I wish I had three people in Colorado to get to where I'm at right now. They bought into it. And Jesus said to the young ruler, he says, watch, why are you calling me good? He wasn't putting himself down. He was saying there's none good but God. So if you're going to call me good and there's none good but God, then you got to back up, son, and admit that I am God. It's good stuff, Pastor Morrison. I don't know whether y'all know it or not, but it's good. I like me. I want one of these CDs before I leave. He said, what I got to do to inherit eternal life? Watch this. Watch, guys. He said, keep the commandments. And this young guy said, he said, I've kept the commandments. And Jesus said, thou lackest one thing. Sell all you got and give to the poor. All right. daddy. And he went away very sad because he was very rich. Now, here's what the problem is. I don't know how it is in Colorado, but when I grew up in the South, if you had money, you wasn't spiritual. If you was highly blessed and favored, you was a compromiser, because poor was spiritual. Now, I know you know anything about it, so just let me get this off my chest. All right? If you had money, you was poor. I mean, if you had money, you was unspiritual, but if you was poor, you was very godly. And you know why they told me that? Because one of the dumbest things I ever learned in church was Jesus was poor. Now, they told me that when I was a kid in church, that Jesus was poor. And I'm smarter than that. I can't believe I bought into that. Jesus was poor. Now, Brother Caldwell, you got to understand that Jesus was poor. The Bible says that he became poor. It does. And Reverend Caldwell, if you knew anything about the Greek, you know that the word poor there means broke, to the point of being a beggar without any money. Oh, you're right. That's exactly what it means. But why do we want to buy into that line? And in the same verse, the line before it says, he who was rich became poor. In case you don't know your Greek, the word rich means loaded. Jesus had money. That's hard to believe, isn't it? He did. I'm going to prove it to you. Jesus had money. But he gave every earthly goods that he had, he gave it up at the cross. Watch this. Oh, God, you got to see this. See, we want to buy into he was poor for 33 and a half years because he became poor. Well, it also says he became sin. And he took on him our sickness. Well, if you don't want to buy into he was in sin for 33 and a half years, and he was sick for 33 and a half years, why are you buying into he was poor for 33 and a half years? Oh, there's light bulbs coming on all over the building. I'm excited. Jesus Christ, watch, this goes against everything we've heard in church. But I'm telling you, it's crazy. Jesus wasn't broke, he wasn't busted, and he wasn't disgusted. He had some cash. Preacher, you can't prove that. Bet I can. I'm so glad you challenged me. Well, let's just do a little logical thinking. God sends his son to planet Earth. If God being good, every good gift comes from God, and we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more does our Father which is in heaven know how to give good gifts unto them that ask? Why would God send his son to earth and not finance him? Y'all better say something. Amen. Oh me, fall out and dance, pass it, do something. What's this? Here it is. McCall, you have to understand that Jesus didn't have any money. Why? Why? Why do you think that? Do you know that Jesus Christ's clothes at Calvary was gambled over, and they didn't want to separate the cloth because it was a seamless garment? And go check, go Google it. It was the most expensive piece of clothing you could wear in the time of Jesus, a seamless garment. Jesus was wearing Versace and Armani. Well, look here. Stay with me, because some of y'all's bought into this thing about no money. Watch. Well, preacher, you know, the Bible's not all about money. You're right, it's not. But some of it is. If you're so spiritual, let's believe all of it. Well, if God wants me to have money, he can send it to me because there's plenty of money in heaven. That's a lie. There's no money in heaven. There's no money in heaven. I guess I need to go over here and talk to this box, because it can get. There's no money in heaven. There's not a dollar. There's not a quarter, not a nickel, not a 50-cent piece, not, come on. Not a peso, not a yen, not a Deutsch. Nothing. Because money is not the currency of heaven. Money's the currency of earth. The currency of heaven is honor. Oh, somebody ought to help me right now. So what's this? So Jesus wasn't poor. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. You got to understand. He was born in a stable. Sure was. Because God fulfills everything, and he was born in a stable because he was the Lamb of God. And that's where lambs belong. Why shepherds? If you could do some study about your history, the church had become so corrupt that you didn't have to raise your own sacrifice anymore. You could come on the day of Passover, and the church had a commissioned shepherds. to raise flocks, and you could bring enough money to church, and you could buy your forgiveness of your sin. And you'll never believe where those flocks and those shepherds were, just on the outside skirts of Bethlehem on the hillside. That's why when the angel showed up to the shepherds, they showed up to the shepherds who was raising sacrifice. God, I wish somebody'd get with me right now. And said, got good news for you, boys. This day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Watch this, guys. God could have cleaned out Herod's palace and had Jesus born there. But he put him in a stable, not because his son was poor. Mary and Joseph were poor. Oh, God, this is going to get a little bumpy, so hang on. Mary and Joseph was poor, but Jesus was not. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and nobody questioned it. Well, I'm preaching better than you backing me up, but that's all right. A preacher, I don't know that he had any money. Watch. Jesus had money. Jesus, watch. Now, Brother Caldwell, if you knew anything at all about the scripture, you know when they took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to Simeon, they brought two turtle doves. And that was according to the law in Leviticus for the dedication of a new child. And it was also the offering of poor people. Sure was. But that was Mary and Joseph. That was when Jesus was 8 days old. That's before the wise men showed up. Now, wait a minute. Now, I know, look, you got your Christmas play. I got that. Got the little manger up here and the baby doll. Mary and Joseph. And I that's pretty. You got your grandbabies coming down the aisle with a bathrobe on and a towel wrapped around their head. And they're carrying Grandpa's cane. How special, isn't they pretty? And they got a Kleenex box wrapped in tinfoil. And they come, the wise men, and they lay it down at the feet of Jesus. That's awesome. But the wise men wasn't at the manger. They didn't show up till Jesus was 2 years of age. Now, don't mess up your Christmas play. Run them on in there. I don't care. Run them in there. Run Elvis in there if you want to. I don't care. Michael Jackson, put them all in. I don't care. I'm just saying to you, they wasn't there. They showed up when Jesus was 2 years of age. And if you'll check Arabic history, the Magi, the wise men, were rich men from Babylon and Persia, which is Iraq and Iran. And they didn't travel in companies of three. According to Arabic history, they traveled in companies of a minimum of 40 to 70. 40 rich men shows up when Jesus was 2 years old, and they didn't bring gold or frankincense or myrrh. They all brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the gift of a king; frankincense, the gift of a priest; and myrrh is the gift of a prophet. So 40 wealthy men shows up and leaves gifts at Mary and Joseph's feet. When they left, Mary and Joseph was independently wealthy. Well, get her done. How do you know? Because when the wise men left, Mary and Joseph went to Egypt on a 2-year vacation. You can't take a 2-year vacation unless you got a little cash. I wish somebody'd help me right now. When I preach, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, pick up your Bibles. I'm getting mad. Pick up your Bibles. Matthew chapter 8. I know I got issues. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 20. It says, foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. See, preacher, Jesus was poor. He didn't even have a house. Boy, that's sad. That is sad. He didn't have a house. Well, let's check out and see what the Word of God says. Please go to St. John. Can I help you tonight? St. John chapter number 1. And let me just read real quick, beginning in verse number 29. Okay? Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Oh, say it like you like me. Say, I'm ready. Verse 29, the next day John said Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31, and I knew him not, that he should be made manifest in Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit. Jesus didn't just see it. Matthew chapter 3 says Jesus saw it. But John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. And he that sent me to baptize, which was God, baptized with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain upon him, the same as he which baptized in the Holy Ghost. And John says in verse 34, I saw and bear record that this is a son of God. And again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus, walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Watch verse 37. And the two disciples which heard him speak, they followed Jesus. Now stop and look at me. Two of John the Baptist's disciples just left his ministry and started following Jesus. That's what it says. And Jesus turned and saw them following him and said, what seek ye? What do you want? Verse 38. And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? That is the Greek word, M-E-N-O, meno. And it means, where do you live? Where is your abode? And where is your house? Verse 39. And he said, come and see. And they came and saw his house and abode with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because thieves come out in the evening. It's unsafe to travel. So this disciple, who was Simon Peter's brother, Andrew, and another guy, spent the night with Jesus at his house. Well, looky here. Jesus had a house. So go back to Matthew 8 and number 20. So when it says foxes have holes and the birds there have nests and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, that ain't talking about a house, is it? I'm trying to help you tonight about some dumb things I learned in church. Boy, it's quiet in here today. Watch. Go to Luke chapter 30. Go to Luke 13. Let me show you something. Luke 13 and verse number 31. Go there quick. Luke 13. Am I helping anybody tonight? Maybe one? Okay, praise the Lord. All right. Verse 31 of Luke 13. Watch this. The same day came certain Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today, and tomorrow on the third day I'll be perfected. Everybody look at me. Jesus called Herod a fox. That's what he said. Go tell that fox. Brother Morrison, I've had people say to me, boy, when you preach, you're just so angry and you're so rough. You think I'm rough, you ought to read some of that red letter stuff. Jesus called them devils and vipers and snakes. You full of dead men's bones. You remember him, don't you? Our precious Lord and Savior. That's how he preached. Somebody said, well, if he preached that way, why don't you preach that way? I said, well, because it got him killed. Man, I'm trying to stay afloat, if you don't mind. Go tell that fox. You ought to underline that word in your Bible and highlight it, because it's the Greek word alopex. Everybody look at me and hear this good. Alopex is the Greek word, and it does not mean a small little animal that steals chickens. The word alopex is a very cunning person. So Jesus said, go tell that alopex, that very cunning person. Go back to Matthew 8 and verse 20. Jesus is preaching kingdom, and he said, the foxes have holes. You'll never guess what that word is. Alopex. Jesus said that the very cunning person Herod has holes. Look it up. The word holes there means localized. Jesus is talking kingdom, Matthew 8 and 20. He's not talking money and don't have a house. He said Herod's got somewhere locally to rule from. And the birds there have nests. Nest is what is over you, and according to history, Roman government always used eagles and birds as a sign of their authority. So Jesus said the foxes have holes. Herod's got somewhere to rule from. The birds have nests. The Romans are ruling from Rome. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And that word head is the same word that Paul uses in Colossians and calls him the head of the church. So he said, Herod's ruling locally, the Romans are ruling, but the Son of Man is looking for somebody that'll get in this kingdom and be a citizen and let me be the head of their life. My God, you ought to clap your hands right now. So, Matthew 8 and 20 ain't got nothing to do with money, does it? Does it? Thank you. Y'all are so kind. So Romans used birds and eagles as a sign of authority. They sure did. Wait a minute. He's talking about the end of time, and they said, when is it going to come? And he said, wherever the body is, the eagles gather thither. He said, you want to know when the end of time is coming? When the government begins to interfere with the body of Christ, trying to tell them how to run their business. Is anybody with me right now? You ought to clap your hands. What are you saying, preacher? We're not out of money. We're not out of churches. We're not out of property. We're not out of sinners. Baby, we run out of time. Jesus Christ had money to preach the gospel, and he actually wants you to have money. Well, now what about sell all you got? He'll never ask you to do anything that he's not willing to do. And every wealthy thing he had and every dime he had on earth, he gave it up to die on the cross. And if you're not willing, he can see your heart. It's okay to have money as long as money ain't got you. Well, money's evil. No, it's not. If money was evil, the devil would be dumping dump truck loads in your front yard. I'm an angry little fella, ain't I? What? What about it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye? I'm sure your pastors explained that in the case you missed it. A needle's eye was not a sewing instrument. Go to Israel. They had walled cities in those days, and thieves was out. At nighttime, they'd come in to steal, so they had gates, and they shut the gate. If you showed up after the gates was closed, they wouldn't open the gate and let you in. There's a chance of thieves breaking in. They had a little door in the big gate, and they'd open it up, and you had to unload your camel and get that old stubborn camel to walk through that hole. It was called the needle's eye. They had two poles they stuck in the ground and put the camel's breast on it. Two poles on his backside to clean him and knock off the dirt. They were called the needle's eye. And we've been told it's easier for the camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We've been told that that kingdom of God was heaven. It ain't. Jesus said, how hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of God? Why? Because the principles of the kingdom are totally opposite than the principles of the world. If you are wealthy before you come into the kingdom, it's tough on you. Because, God, I wish somebody would get with me right now. Because how you got your money and every equation that you use to get that money when you get in the kingdom is turned totally upside down. So Jesus said, it's tough on your thinking. He ain't talking about going to heaven. He's talking about principle of making money. Why? Because in the world, if you want to have money, you got to learn how to hoard it up. But in the kingdom, if you want to have money, you got to learn how to... See, in the world, if you want to become somebody, you got to climb the ladder. But in the kingdom, if you want to become somebody, you humble yourself and God will exalt you. My. Let me check my time. All right, I've been preaching. Oh, goodness, hallelujah, 50 minutes. Can I have three more? Okay, thank you. Raise your hand if you give me three more minutes. There's 3, 6, 9, 12. All right, good. We're covered. Now watch. Let's go back to this. Watch, guys. You need to understand that Jesus Christ was not broke. Jesus Christ was not busted. He was not disgusted. He had money on this earth. But he says in verse 29 of Luke 18, whatever you give up for the kingdom of God's sake, he said, you shall receive manifold more, watch, in this present time. But George, I was told if you give it up, we've got to pay you back in heaven. That ain't what Jesus said. He had money, and he had lots of it. So I've decided, since I've discovered this, from now till he comes back or the day I die, I'm thriving to be Christ-like. Had a lady say to me, you know, money don't bring joy. I said, well, poverty don't either, ignorant. Money's not about joy. In his presence is a fullness of joy. Money's to pay your bills. Yeah, all right, let me look at my notes just a minute. Just talk among yourselves. Let me see where I'm at. If not shouting about money, please move on quickly. All right, praise the Lord. Watch this. Jesus has preached all day long. I'm going to close right here. He's preached all day long. He's talked about church folk. He's talked about money. He's talked about attitude all day long. He's talked to a rich young publican, a young ruler. He talked about the church folk and the public and went to pray and said he had the wrong attitude. And now he comes to Jericho. Please look at your Bible. Verse 35 of chapter 18. A certain blind man sat by the wayside, hearing a multitude pass by, said what it meant. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Son of David. They said, hush. I said, I won't hush. Watch this, guys. Listen to me. Don't ever miss an opportunity when God prompts you. This is the last time that Jesus Christ passed through Jericho. From this point in chapter 18 and 19, he goes to Jerusalem, and there he is crucified. He never passes through town again. Bartimaeus, this was his last chance. So he said, Son of David. Let me show you something. That's the first time in Jesus' ministry that an established Jewish person had called him Son of David, which was one of the qualifications for him to be qualified to be the Messiah. And right before he hits Jerusalem, a blind man. Isn't it amazing that it took a blind man to see what the church could? Son of David, have mercy. And they said, hush. Jesus said, bring him here. Watch, guys. You got to see this. Pastor George, can I borrow your vest right there? If you read this same story, guys, will you let me finish this? Is this good? Nobody seems to be bored, so watch, guys. If you're bored, you're fooling me. Watch this. If you read this same story in the book of Mark chapter 10, Mark gives a little more insight than Luke does. Mark calls this blind man Bartimaeus, and he tells us who his father was. He says his father was Timaeus. So if you'll do a little study in Jewish history, you'll find that Timaeus, Bartimaeus' father, was also blind. Watch, here's the story as I see it. Timaeus is begging. He hears a beautiful voice of a young lady one day and says, you know, how you doing? And she says, you're kind of handsome. And he says, oh, you're beautiful. And they get married. He's begging to take care of his family. He comes home. He's got a wife because he's got a son. He comes home and he says, baby, you sound like you're real happy. She said, well, I didn't want to say anything until I knew for sure we're expecting. Ah, the joy. 9 months goes by. Baby Bartimaeus is born. 10 months later, Timaeus comes in. He says, baby, is something wrong? You real sound down, depressed. She says, sit down, Timaeus. I got to tell you something. I've been watching baby Bart, and I hate to tell you, he's blind. The heart of Timaeus, a blind man, knowing what he's been through his whole life, the heart of a father had to break. But sure enough, he's blind. But you become an adult in Jewish culture at age 13. On Bartimaeus' 13th birthday, Pastor, I can see it. He comes in and says, hey, Bart. Yeah, Dad, come here, son. Blind father, blind son, standing in a small, little, humble living room. Feel what I've got, son. What is it, Dad? It feels like clothes. Dad, it is, son. Today you're a man. You couldn't beg just because you wanted to in those days. You had to have a permit and a certificate, and it came from the church, from the priest. It was called a beggar's robe. And Timaeus says, son, I went to the priest today. They know you're blind. I got you a robe. Now you can beg with Dad. And he took that robe, Pastor Morrison, and he put it on that boy. And that father labeled that kid. Dad, Mom, hear me. Don't you ever tell that son or daughter, that granddaughter, that grandson, you're stupid. Don't you ever tell him you can't do anything, you're ignorant. You don't know how to do anything right. Don't you ever say that. Your words over them are so powerful. You don't think they're powerful? Timaeus put that robe on his son. And 2,000 years later, you still call him blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, Timaeus begged together. Now, Jesus is passing through Jericho, baby. It's the last train out. And one of the dumbest things I learned in church, Jesus was poor and how to put labels on people. Mark chapter 10 says, Jesus called him and said, bring him here. Luke don't mention it, but Mark does. History says Bartimaeus begged with his father for 20 years. That'll put him at the age of 33, which is the number of promise. He said, bring him here. And Mark chapter 10 says, and he arose, Pastor, and laid his garment aside. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate what you've done for me. It was the best you had. And I don't fault you. But I don't need that anymore. Why did Jesus say, what do you want? It wasn't a stupid question at all. Because for 20 years, 33 years, his entire life, people had been telling blind Bartimaeus who he was and had labeled him a beggar. But for the first time in that man's life, Jesus gave him an opportunity to say who he wanted to be instead of who everybody else had told him that he was. One of the dumb things you'll learn in church is how to put labels on people. Let me tell you about the kingdom of God, what is beautiful. When God begins to bless, you don't know who drove a Cadillac and who rode a bicycle. You don't know who's got a doctorate and who can't read. Because he says, let whosoever will come and drink. What's this, guys? Bartimaeus said, I want to be a healing. I want to be healed. I want to be a seeing man. And everybody danced. Glory to God. Look what Jesus done. Glory to God. And he goes through town and a little tax collector who was rich. My, look at the theme. Come down, Zacchaeus. Goes to his house. And the same people who was shundai, 45 minutes ago is now saying, that preacher's lost his mind. Look at me, guys. The same people who cry, Hosanna, 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 in 8 days will move across the street and cry, crucify, crucify. If you're hung up in the Hosanna, when they cry, crucify, you'll freak out. So you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. So that way when they change, look at me, and they will. Look here. I discovered something in my ministry. When I get done preaching, I discovered sometimes when I preach in conventions that there are some people who really don't like me at all. That shocked me. I see you're shocked as I was. But you have to learn who you are. Put the oar in the water and keep on paddling. Understand? Watch, I'm closing. Watch this. Watch. Matter of fact, musicians, come on back. What's this? Watch this, guys. Zacchaeus gets up and says, all right, half of my goods I give to the poor. Do you know that poor in Jericho stopped that day? Nobody was poor. But Jericho, am I telling the truth, Pastor, is still one of the poorest cities in the Middle East. Why? Because poor and rich is about money, but poverty and prosperity is about your attitude and your spirit. See, poor and rich can change overnight, but poverty and prosperity are spirits that you've got to deal with. Amen? So Jesus said, Zacchaeus, that's really impressive. This day has salvation come to your house. Now, I was told as a kid that if you had money, you couldn't be saved. And that gum, before the day was over, when he talked about the camel and needle's eye and all that to enter the kingdom of God, he said, dear rich man, you're saved. Well, now, look here what we ran on to. And then he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Breathe in. This one's going to sting. I was told all of my life that the Son of Man had come to seek and save sinners. That is not what that says. Jesus himself said, not the Son of Man has come to seek and save them. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that. And the that was dominion of the kingdom that was lost. And so he picks you up and puts you back. And church has convinced you that we're just the low crumbs down here. I got two Greek words for you. You need to learn. Shut up. We are not the crumbs in the dirt. We are sons and daughters, citizens and ambassadors. Somebody clap your hands. Watch. Watch this, guys. Watch. You're here right now. I'm going to give it back to Pastor. Please don't make your exit, please. So I want to give you an opportunity as a musician is going to begin to play or you by yourself. Austin, is it just me and you? All right, dog, we're it. There we go. Watch. You sit in church Sunday after Sunday. When you was a kid, a teenager, somebody said something to you. Somebody labeled you, somebody hurt you. And now you're a grown man, a grown woman, and you're still carrying the label somebody tagged you with. Maybe you was raised in a rough home and they told you you can't ever do anything right. And now as an adult, you're 45, 50, 60 years of age and you still struggle with it. Maybe somebody told you you was ugly. You've always had self-esteem problems. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus is passing by. And you need to lay the garment aside because you might have done what they said you done, but I promise you, you are not who the devil says you are.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.